Yahweh bless you. Tonight I'm on a, it's going to be a little bit different of teaching. It's going to be more testimonies. It's really about penetrating into other people's lives. And so it was on my heart was to give you guys some testimonies in my own life, how I've been utilized. And it was neat because in Acts chapter 26, this whole chapter is what? Well, you don't have to go there, you can. But it's Paul giving a testimony. If you read the book of Acts, as many times Paul's there, and what does he do? I was his guy, and I did this, and I did this. And so sometimes we're going before people, and we don't have anything to say. Start with your testimony. Also in Jeremiah 32, incredible chapter in the scriptures, Jeremiah says, is anything too wonderful for you? And then later on, Yahweh responds, lo, I am Yahweh, Elohim of all flesh. Is anything too wonderful for me? But this whole chapter is almost two and a quarter pages is what? Jeremiah answering Zedekiah going, why did you say this? I went into a testimony. I said, I'm going to give a testimony. And hopefully it's going to inspire you guys. I know it'll inspire you guys if you humble yourselves. Father, we thank you for your words, and we thank you for every opportunity we have to advance the ball. Whatever it takes to advance the ball to the end zone, to get things done. For TikTok, your son's coming back at any moment, and we have much work to be done, and this life is but a resume, and we thank you for that great day that will be graded before your son, and that wonderful great throne judgment, or what that judgment. We thank you for these words. Your word says, covet to prophesy, 1 Corinthians 14:39, 1 Corinthians 14:5, I want everybody to speak in tongues, but if you're in a group, do tongues of interpretation. So if anybody does,
hallelujah.
And thank you, Father, for those words. Amen. On this last vacation we were on, I got to witness my father do something I've never seen him do before, and it was really neat because what he was doing is he was penetrating other people's universes. You can see people in their lives, people you're strangers, they're doing their own things. And it is human nature in our flesh. Leave them alone. You do your own thing. But my father was intentionally penetrating. I was like watching him going inside their ozone, into their orbit, finding a reason to go in. And people would respond with fireworks, spiritual fireworks. And it's neat when you get to watch people do it, because in our flesh, man, don't worry about them, you got nothing in common, whatever, but you get to see the response that people want to know they matter. Not just that, that's just for a natural thing. With my father, he's talking about John G. Lake, talking about Christ is inside you right now, and this testimony, and what I got to witness with my father and in my own life is a learning experience. As soon as I get good in the Word, as soon as I get a good message, then I'll go. Once I get cleaned up and I find somebody who is ready to receive and I got a good product, you don't think that way, then I'll go. When I'm 20 years old, when I'm 18 years old, then I'll start doing street evangelism. Not now. We'll come up with these things. But you already have the product. Christ is already inside you. Well, then why am I not getting revelation? Faith without works is dead. Do you believe it is inside you? Yes, I do, Lord. Do you believe he's got any message for any of these people in the room? Well, I don't know the message. You're not supposed to know the message. Go! Inject. And as you do so, put on your armor. Because they might reject you. They're not rejecting you. It was an African night. The sun's going down. I am in the forest in the mountains of Kenya with many people who have never seen white people, a white person, the way they were looking at me, speaking foreign languages. First time I've ever been on a stage speaking. Not only that, I didn't know I was going to be doing it through an interpreter. Talk about never done anything before. I go into doing a teaching and it gets interrupted by the interpreter. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, how am I going to keep track? I finished that. I survived. And after these teachings I witnessed, David Remy says, okay, this is the time people come up to be healed. You start at that line over there, that end of the line, I'll start at this line over here. And before all this, Yahweh, through David Remy, was saying, you got to get in the game, man. What are you waiting on? There's people everywhere. Well, as soon as I get my anointing, or as soon as I get a prophetic thing, or as soon as I get some sort of shaking in the hand, then I'll go. Next, get out of here. But here's David says, you're gonna be the signature, the headliner. Great things, expect great things, this man who's coming. I was like, oh great. But when he told me that he put my face on billboards and stuff and says that an American's coming here, expect power. When he said it, at the same time as he said it, Christ inside me says, it's about time. So I couldn't even reject it because I knew I have the product. It's time to grow up. It's time to start acting like your life is running out. Because all of us are running out of time. How much time do we have? We have no idea. So when we drove the rental car through a road that appeared that it had been bombed by the Allied forces and the Germans had responded with mortars, and I'm thinking about, oh my gosh, this car is going to blow out, is doing this just to get to this place. And yet David tells me I'm going to do a teaching. I got to sit there and meditate because I don't speak the language. And do you know what Yahweh told me through Christ? Relax. Nobody in here or nobody where you're going is there to see you. Not one single person there is there to see you. They're there to see me. You are but a person setting up the red carpet and the red rope for President Trump to show up. Why are you stressed out? Just, hey, go take the tickets. You get over here, set up the chairs. You go over there, make sure he's got his Diet Coke. Are you going to be the one speaking? Oh, I'm not speaking. You don't worry. They're not there to see you. So fast forward to the sun's going down. There's no street lights. It's very dark. Everybody there is dark complected with an exception of me. There's just silhouettes of people. And then David ups it. Actually, Yahweh ups it with me. Just got done doing my first teaching on a stage after he challenges witch doctors. Gonna be killed. I'm gonna die in Kenya. Well, if I die with a witch doctor killing me, I'll be kind of famous back home. That'd be the good news. Like, what happened here? The witch doctor's gone. Well, that'd be kind of cool. He sets up the lines, and as I walk up to the first person, the woman needs to be prayed for. Christ is inside me going, Aaron, your eyes are my monitors. The windows, I want to see them. I want them to see me. Do you believe I am in you? I do. Then let them look inside and see me, not you. You got that? Yes, yes, Lord, I got that. Your mouth is my speaker. You got to speak. Do you believe that your mouth is a speaker? You say what I say, and you say it the way I say it. Do you got that? Yes. Aaron, they're not there to see you. I'm speaking through you. Aaron, your face is my avatar. You cannot deliver my message and have the wrong face. Will you give the face? Do you believe you are the hands and feet of the living God through Christ? I do. Would Christ be stressed out? No. Would he be worried? No. How would you expect him to deliver something when he's talking about his dad and he's delivering out messages? I think he'd be very excited. At least that's what I would. Then do it. And so I'm going in with this pep talk, and the first person I touch, boom! It's like lightning hit her. It's like an explosion, some sort of electrical thing, like she got hit. She falls and collapses on the people behind her. They catch her. And they look at me, and all I do is, and I want them to, inside of me, my flesh is going, what just happened? I just killed somebody. And I went to the next person, and the next person. The thing was, as I was doing this, Christ was saying, they're not there to see you. They're not going to remember you. It's about me. 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 Quit thinking about yourself. As this whole thing was going on, and I got to watch this, and I got to watch David Remy do an exorcism with a woman flailing around, and it looked like she was being mauled by a spiritual lion. Very scary. And I was going to tell him to stop, because there's something wrong, David. There's something wrong because if she doesn't want to get delivered, she can't deliver. And I didn't stop. I hesitated on that, and then he delivered her. I got to witness that. And as this all was happening, a voice inside me, a spectator inside me, my roommate inside me said, Aaron, how did all this start? And a rhetorical question comes upon my heart, and the answer comes before I can even articulate. And you know when it started? With me in a weight room 20 years earlier. In the gym. You see, I had a desire to be in the gym, to go work out. Nobody could explain it. They didn't have to tell me to go, but I know I needed to go. One thing, I was really skinny. People made fun of me. And Christ says, you need to get to the gym. And so that was one thing. I started it. But now I had this gym. But when Christ says, how did all of this start? And it started with a bench press. A bench press. A desire to be strong. What does that mean? It meant that when 20 years ago, I used to live in my, it was more than 20 years ago, I had my own desires. I had my own things that I liked to do. And then I had some time for Christ. I wasn't like the Apostle Paul. I wasn't like my father who lived in the Scriptures. I'm a gym rat! And then I'll show up to church on Sunday or something, and I got a little bit of room for him. I'll talk about it when he's brought up, but I didn't have a whole lot in common with Yahweh and Christ. I think of Peter possibly as a fisherman. The Apostle Paul, man, that guy lived in the Scriptures. Are you kidding me? He knew everything. I wasn't like that. And what I had to learn in Yahweh and Christ was communicated to me through this African experience is you just electrocuted a woman and knocked her to the ground. Everybody in that group will never be the same. They saw that power. It wasn't me. Because your desire to have a strong bench press. Because I had this desire to work out and lift weights, but then, you know, it could be idolatry. Lifting weights and bodybuilding. Are you worshiping yourself? Are you looking at, you're looking in the mirror a lot, right? But so do dancers. Dancers, you got to look in the mirror too, but it could be idolatry, so maybe it is idolatry. And so I try to walk away from the gym. None of my family understood it. My older brothers didn't understand it either. They weren't in the gym like me. But I couldn't get away from this thing that I had. And what it was is one day, or one time, it was put upon my heart to sit, and I didn't know this. I was giving my niece the testimony on the cruise ship. But it wasn't until today that Yahweh reminded me, it wasn't your idea to get your passions and my passions to interject. You see, Christ said, Aaron, do you believe I live inside you? Yes, I do. Do you believe I'm stronger than Samson? Well, yeah, I mean, you're strong. Then why don't you show me some of your strength? And this thing wouldn't go away, that there's a strength. And what happened was with that is he was trying to get me in the game. Because how can I get this strength? Well, that's what I wanted for some reason, some desire. I couldn't explain it. What did Yahweh and Christ want? They want marketers. They're in a marketing thing. They got to get people to interject themselves into people's ozones, to get into their lives, into their games. And up to that point, lifting the weights in the gym was all about me. And in order to get that strength, I had to come up with a sales pitch. What does he have to do with bench presses? He's got nothing to do with bench press. I tried not working out. Because I thought it was idolatry, and I went into deep depression. If I don't work out, I get depressed. If I do work out, it's idolatry. What's going on here? At least that's what I was wrestling with. And then Yahweh pointed and goes, take your desire, your passion, whether it's music, whether it's business, whether it's cats, whether it's reading, whatever it is, and find a way to get it to intersect with Yahweh and His calling. Why? Because, and so what happened was I had to start witnessing to people. And I said, I found a reason to talk to him. I interjected. I like your shoes. Thanks. Hey, I want Jesus Christ. He's inside me. And because I just witnessed to you, I just got stronger. And I would find some way. And I wasn't used to doing these things. But as I did, you know what happened to most of those people? They responded positively. They said, amen. And then pretty soon my bench press got stronger and stronger and stronger. And then I got cocky and it went down. And then you know what I ended up doing in the gym? If I wanted strength, I looked around for somebody to witness to. And then I'd go witness to him. And what Christ was doing is he's got a good product. And the good product is inside of each one of you. Are you interjecting yourself in other people's lives? I don't know how to heal anybody. He knows how to heal. I don't know the scriptures. He knows the scriptures and he knows your software. Do you believe? Then get in the game. And so me witnessing to people was the beginning of the gym ministry that took me to Africa. I just got back from Europe. One of my friends from Africa sent me a message. Janae said, "Did you ever find out what was wrong with you? Did you eat something wrong? Why were you so sick?" Because I got really sick afterwards for like 2 weeks. And I sent her a message back. "Yeah, I know what it was wrong." She said, "What?" I said, "I didn't get to work out for 2 weeks." I was joking. But here's this working out. I go to this gym Monday. The busiest day in the gym. Monday is when everybody comes in after all their binge eating on Fridays and Saturdays, and now they're going to burn us off. And guys who just carved up, I'm going to turn this into a bench press. I'm in the gym working out on the busiest day in a packed gym. I'm finishing up the workout. I'm in front of the mirrors with the dumbbells, and I'm working. I felt you need to hit arms one more time. And as I'm hitting arms one more time with people everywhere, and as I was giving the testimony today, the words came out. Think of me in this gym as a boulder in the middle of a descending stream. That's people. This is gyms on Monday nights. Working out, and then this 14-year-old kid walks up to me. And I said, "Hey, you looks like you got bigger." Small talk, interjected. Okay, so I'm used to that. Find a reason to say hi. I interjected. He goes, "I did gain weight. I get blah, blah, blah." And then he turns, he looks at me, he goes, "I think you're the guy I need to talk to about speaking in the gift of speaking in tongues." I'm right here in the middle of everything. He didn't ask me to go to the side. He didn't say, "Hey, can I talk to you for a second? Hey, when you get a moment..." He pretty much interrupted my lifting with a small talk, but because I interjected, and he said, and I go, "Why do you ask about the gift of speaking in tongues?" And he said, "Well, school just started," and he was on a public school computer, and while he's on a public school computer, a YouTube pops up of a Christian minister, and he goes, "This is a public school computer. For those of you who don't know, Christianity is a false god to the public schools, because there is only one god with public schools, government. The government is a god. And so there's no Christianity." And they'll say evolution, they'll say whatever, governments are god. And so he looks at me and goes, "You know how unusual that is, that a Christian thing pops on?" I go, that's not a coincidence. And they say the guy starts teaching him. He's at school watching a YouTube video about the guy going, "You better get ready because Christ's coming back." And he goes, "Do you know what..." The teenager asked me, "Do you know what the rapture is?" I said, "I know what that is. Yeah, Christ is going to come back and it's all over." And he looks at me and goes, "Then I knew it's time for me to get my life straight." He's 14. And then he goes off on a tangent. Now you guys got to understand, as this kid's witnessing to me, I witness to people everywhere. I don't have teenagers witness to me in front of everybody. He says, and the next thing that happened was, and then he said he tried to explain it to his family. His family didn't understand. And I'd witnessed to his dad, him and his dad in the gym a couple times. This was kind of a shock because I thought his dad was more of a Christian leader. And then he said, then another thing happened. He was in his backyard and he saw a vision. He goes, and then he looks at me, "Is that okay to bring up a vision?" I go, "Yeah." He goes, "Do you think I'm crazy?" "No, I don't think you're crazy. Tell me about this vision." People are listening to us, guys. Mm-hmm. What are they talking about? Visions and speaking in tongues? What is that all about? Whoa. If you started talking about speaking in tongues in most churches, people would walk away. I got to get going to my car. And he said he was in his backyard and he saw like a vision of the sky parting. And he said he saw Christ come through, and he goes, and it was Christ who was wearing like this white robe, and it was covered with like gold. And then he said, and I might say this wrong, but he said, "I saw three angels on his right hand and two on his left." And he's looking at me, and he goes, "Then I tried to tell my family, but they didn't really understand." And I look at him, I go, "Let's go back to the speaking in tongues and a gift." I go, "First of all, what you have had is an encounter like Moses in the burning bush. Yahweh and Christ are trying to get your attention, and you're answering the call. So bravo." After a short explanation of that, I said, "The reason why it looks like speaking in tongues is a gift is because you've only read the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. You haven't read the 14th chapter. And if you read just the 14th chapter, it looks like it's just a gift." And he goes, anybody can sing, but not everybody's going to be gifted in singing. It can't be just a gift, because 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 5. And I go, "Wait a minute, do you have a Bible?" I didn't think he did. pulls out his phone. I go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 5. That quick, too. Look at this kid. And what's it say in verse 5? I want all you to speak in tongues. Wait a minute. That means everybody can speak in tongues. Not everybody's going to be gifted in it, just like singing. Some people are gifted. I'm not gifted at singing. I'm gifted at other things. Practical jokes. But in his case, then I said, do you know the significance? Verse 4 says it makes you stronger. If you need strength, you're missing strength. Are you missing strength? Are you trying to break some habits you're not supposed to have? What's the scripture say you're supposed to do? Go speak in tongues. I go verse 14. We go over to verse 14. It's perfect prayer. Do anybody need perfect prayer there on your heart? And he went, yeah. You can speak in tongues. And as we're sitting there, I lead him into speaking in tongues. And I got led to do it a different way. I used to do all these steps. And he goes, no, just tell him. First thing you're going to do is you're going to be humming. Hum. You got to hum. Christ is not going to, he's not going to take over you. I said, he told Peter to get out of the boat. He didn't hold his hand. Come on, come to me, Peter. Come, get out. You're going to hum. The second thing is you're going to be breathing. You got to air going. And then the last thing is you're going to be moving your lips. I go, move your lips. Go ahead, move your lips. And he moves his lips. Okay, then we're going to put all these three things together. And then I'll explain it afterwards. And he gets the breath going. People are everywhere, all around us. We didn't go. I usually I'd say, let's go talk over here. I'm still where the weights are. And he hums. He's blowing air. Okay, now move your lips. I said, you're doing it. So he moves his lips a little bit more. Pretty soon his dad comes over. And his dad's like, where are you been? Hey, we got to get going. So I got to lead the dad, tell the dad the scriptures. And I got to show him the dad, here's the scriptures. Speaking in tongues. We're just talking about 1 Corinthians 14 or 12 and 14. And normally I wouldn't let the dad or the kid into speaking in tongues without the dad there. Normally I would say we got to get the dad, but in this case I got a word of knowledge to do it now. So we did. And then I tell the dad, we're talking about this, 1 Corinthians 12 and speaking in tongues, and he goes, I just told him you're the one that he needs to talk to. Okay, alright, I said, well, then I went into, what is it, what does it do, what's the significance, do you need strength, perfect prayer, the dad responded, and I thought he was going to postpone it, I said, let's do it right now, he said, okay, so we're standing right there, and I said, let's do it with prayer, so I go, let's pray first, and I said, before we pray, I said, what brings Jesus Christ more glory, are you doing something that makes you look cool, or are you doing something that humbles yourself? Dad goes, when we humble ourselves, he's glorified. That's right. I said, we're going to speak in tongues in front of this whole gym, in front of everybody. Does that make us look cool? Or does that humble ourselves? And they go, it humbles ourselves. I go, amen. So we hold hands. Here's a dad covered in tattoos. He's a nice guy, but if you look at him, you wouldn't normally walk up and talk about Jesus Christ because he's intimidating. He's a 14-year-old kid trying to get his life right. And here's me, a meathead. We hold our hands, and I get to give him a prophecy. The prophecy was that Yahweh was so proud of him, because here's a father and a son, and a son's working out with his father, and everybody's getting to see this, and hear what all these specific things about William, the father, would get done. The father looks at me, tears are in his eyes. And I go, that was called a prophecy. Covet to prophesy. And then I explain, our father just touched you with words of edification, exhortation, and comfort. Verse 24 and 25. He looks at the scriptures. I show that real quick. And now Yahweh's really got his attention. Do the same steps as his son. Hum, blow, move your lips. He does it even faster than his son does. His son was the one that was inquiring. And it's that, he starts humming a little bit, and I go, good, now you do it. Now Braxton, the son's a little intimidated. Do it. Do it. Christ is inside them. And so he speaks in tongues a little bit. Dad does a little bit. I do a little bit. And everybody's all around us. We get done. His dad goes, okay, we got to get going. I got to get back to work. And then he looks at his son. We got to do some reading. I go, no reading. Don't read. And he said, why? I said, because you're going to talk yourself out of it. The flesh does not want you to do what you just did. Read the scriptures. And I talked about the war of the flesh. You have to exercise this. Exercise it. Exercise it. I said, what's the worst case scenario? I said, did we just hook up to a Ouija board? No. Watch your flesh, because your flesh is going to talk you out of this. As you go home, you both work on your speaking in tongues. Then I made fun of Braxton a little bit. I said, Braxton, is this how you talk? And he laughed. And said, no, that's not how I talk. Then speak in tongues the way you talk. And then they left. And as they left, Now, I've never had anything like this. Now, I've interjected in people's life, but this time, Yahweh had a 14-year-old interject into my life. Everybody in the gym's looking at me. And it was as if there was a spotlight. And I felt as if like a light. You ever think about, I thought about a vision with the vision of Peter and James and John seeing Elijah and Moses talking to the resurrection Christ. I always imagine a white light on them. And as they walked off, everybody in the gym's looking at me. And I after this, I had to turn and sit down because I've never experienced anything like that. Not like that. And I had to record it. And but the point is, with that neat testimony, is as I was sitting there, and that's actually the testimony that I wanted to share. And Yahweh's like, you need to explain that your gym ministry is taking you all around the world. You know how many times I've been to Africa? 5 times. I've been to Europe like 5, 6 times. I've been everywhere. It all started with a bench press, a doodle. And the thing is to get people to say, you have a product. What are you doing to interject into other people's lives? Whether it's a bench press or whatever else it is, it could be. And then in my case, I wanted a bench press. That's Matthew 6:6. Seek ye first his rule and his righteousness. Covet the prophesy. I want all you to speak in tongues. Witness to people. He's the marketer. He gave me the bench press after I gave him the first fruit. Matthew 6, 31, 33, and 34. Don't be anxious for tomorrow. And also, when I went to Africa, the reason why I didn't want to go to Africa is because my whole business was getting ready to go bankrupt. I didn't have the time or the money. And he sent me to Africa to be a part of all of that. And he ended up doubling my income the year later. But it all started with the bench press. So they encourage people to say, you already have Christ inside you. And to give them a pep talk to say, what are you using to interject into people's lives? You don't have to wait until you're 20 years old. And then you can use your gift, your passion, your drawings or your writings or whatever. It could be Facebook. But intentional gift. So if I wanted, the good thing about lifting weights or running fast on a treadmill, it's pass or fail. It's not multiple choice. Mm. Failed. How do you know I failed? You're screaming for help, and they call 911, and you're pinned to the ground. Mm-hmm. Or if you don't keep up on the treadmill, you didn't work. And so Yahweh will work there to say, you want this strength? Go help that person right now. Well, I don't have anything to say to them. I do. You find a reason to talk to them, like your shirt, and then you find some reason to pray for them. And as you pray for them, you give them a prophecy. Pow! And as you do so, he'll give you the desires of your heart. But I believe that's it. So activate believers, get people to interject in other people's lives, and it's real important to have some sort of desire. If you don't have some sort of big thing that you want, then you're missing. Andrew Womack said that once. He said, some of you Christians are aiming at nothing and hitting it every time. Uh-huh. Do you want a house? Do you want a wife? Do you want a husband? Do you want financial success? Go to the king with something the way David did. Said, what will be given to the man who slays this uncircumcised Philistine? And they came back and said, your dad won't pay taxes and you'll marry the king's daughter. Sounds good to me. Look what got David going. A bench press got me. Father, we thank you for these words. And we thank you that you are alive inside of us and showing us how to activate people. That we can interject into people's lives like my father was in Europe. To start butterfly effects, and I can see it. I can see it that there's spheres, there's ozones around each person's life. And when we interject into it and we deliver the good stuff, that we start hurricanes of righteousness inside their life. Instead of commotion, and we're releasing peace. And the peace that passes understanding. And as we do so, oh, that's it. Amen. Amen.